Well, hello there. You are about to enter the mind of the mindset maniac. Your mindset is the most important part of your existence. Don't believe me? You will. With a healthy, adaptive, and expansive mindset, you can achieve anything, and you can learn to use every challenge in your life to benefit you in some way. I am here to teach you all the ways your mindset dictates your current experiences in life and ultimately your future. This podcast will teach you applicable tools and resources that you can start applying today to improve your life. So what are we waiting for? Let's go ahead and jump right in. What is up, my friends? Welcome back to another episode of The Mindset Maniac. I am Leslie Krivar, your host and Mindset Maniac, and today we are talking about relationships. And I'm going to be specifically talking to or about romantic relationships, but and when I say that, it could be your spouse or your partner, but I also want you to keep in the back of your mind that you can also take this concept and use it in the context of maybe a friendship or a family relationship or even a relationship with a stranger. So the other day, I heard a really interesting phrase, which was, there is a fool and a king inside of every man, and likewise a fool and a queen inside of every woman. And when I heard that, my wheels started to turn, okay? Because I'm thinking, if there's a fool and a king inside of every man and a fool and a queen inside of every woman, what does that mean? And the phrase went on to say that with there being each one of these and each one of us, who we speak to, whether we speak to the fool or whether we speak to the king or whether we speak to the queen, that is the one who emerges. So when we speak to the fool shows up. And when we speak to the king or the queen, that is the one who emerges. And actually, just let that sink in for a moment. Really let that sink in. When I speak to someone like they are a fool, that's what I'm going to get back. When I speak to someone like they are my king, that is what I get back from them. I don't know. That just hit me. So I was thinking about this concept. And as I said, I'm thinking about this in regards to relationships that we have with our husbands or our wives or our partners, because that was one in the context of how I was reading this and in the context of how it was further explained. But I think also I wanted to speak to it in this way because most of us have this tendency to want to point out our partner's shortcomings, and we do that because we want them to be different or better or more. Maybe some of this is resonating, you're nodding your head. And I read somewhere, I thought this was interesting, I read somewhere that it is said that when a man marries his wife, he wants her to stay exactly the way she was when they got married. And often when a wife marries her husband, she sets out to change him for the better. I just thought that was interesting. My personal experience and my relationship with my husband doesn't follow that exactly. I don't remember thinking that when we got married, but I can relate to the tendency, especially as we've been together for over a decade, to see things that I think he could be doing better or that he could be doing differently and wanting to point them out and guide him to doing it the way that I think he should. So I think it's important. I think it's important for us to ask ourselves the question of why when it comes to why we want our partner to be different. Why is it that we want to change our spouse or our partner? And I want you to think about that question and maybe even pause this here to answer it or journal it out. Why do I want to change them? Why do I want them to be different? So take a moment, think about that, write on that. And then when you have that answer, I want you to answer this next question. How do I feel when I think the answer that you just came up with, or if you did write it out, how do I feel when I read that answer? So I want that to be a one-word emotion or a one-word feeling that you have when you think about why you want them to be different, or when you read your answer to that question. Why do I want them to be different? So go ahead and pause this and answer that one too. And the final question I want you to answer is, how do you act when you're feeling that way? So let me give you a really common example here. Let's say that I have the thought that my husband doesn't load the dishwasher well. So if I was answering, you know, why do I think he needs to be different? I might say, well, I think that he doesn't load the dishwasher well, and he rushes through it, and he doesn't think about where things should go, and it's just a mess when he loads it, or maybe things don't get clean the way I think they should. So when I think that, the feeling or emotion that comes up in me would be judgment. I feel judgmental. And you know what I do when I'm feeling judgmental? I tell him what to do. I tell him how he's doing it wrong. I probably continue on by telling him other things that I think that he's doing wrong or not doing the way I would do it as well. And so what I end up doing is treating him like a fool. And you know what I get back? Yeah, you probably guessed it. I get back a fool's response. I get back the fool. So he would likely show up to my response, respond to me defensive, disinterested, annoyed. And I get it. I would be too. If someone was judging me and highlighting my shortcomings or even just like a simple difference in how I think we should be doing things. And you know, the remarkable thing here is, I'll tell you, this is almost always how it works. When we are thinking about our partner, no matter if we're treating them like a fool or a king, okay, this goes either way, whatever we're thinking about them, that is always what ends up playing out. I said always. I don't usually like to use that word, but I've yet to see a situation where someone goes to someone and talks to them like a fool, and the response from the other person is like really happy and really receptive and really excited. It's like, that's not the way it works. It's almost like the self-proclaiming prophecy. Like when I'm thinking that someone is like messing up and I'm showing them how they're messing up and I'm treating them like someone that messes up, they respond back in a way where they are that person. They're somebody that's messing up in that moment because I don't like the way they're responding. And now it just continues to like validate it. Like, see how you are? Here's another thing I'm going to tell you how you're messing up around. So I think that this is like a really interesting thing that happens. And in some ways, this might not be a brand new concept, especially if you're a parent. And I think that we can recognize maybe this concept as far as like how we want to treat others based on what that will create when we think about it in terms of parenting. So imagine that you are talking to your child when they are doing something that let me say it this way. Most of us are familiar with the concept of highlighting good behavior and then ignoring, for the most part, bad behavior. So I wouldn't follow Watson around all day telling him, you know, you suck at folding the towels. You don't put the dishes away fast enough. You take too long to peel the potatoes. Like, that would make him feel bad, terrible. And I'm sure he wouldn't want to do those things anymore. And if he did, if I was like, you have to do it anyways, he would do it in a way with like his best effort, because like, why even try, you know? So instead, what I do is I focus on what he is doing amazingly at, and I highlight that. And here's the thing, when I do have to give him critique or say address a bad behavior, I still bring that to him with respect. Now, he's not a king, but he would be a prince, right? So I speak to him that way. So if my husband, let's bring it back here, was loading the dishwasher in a way like where it was going to break, he was doing it in a way that he didn't realize like this could break something, I wouldn't ignore it and praise him. Like, that would be silly. I wouldn't be like, oh, you're my king, you're like loading this so wonderfully, if it was going to break it. That's not what I'm talking about. But I wouldn't bring it to him in a way where I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you are just like, you don't know anything. Like, you are just not capable. I wouldn't bring it to him while I'm thinking that way. I wouldn't show up to him judgmentally, because nothing, there's no good outcome that's going to come from there. So if it is something that's important, it's an important matter. And don't try and dress this up, right? We all know what's important and what's not. Don't try and split hairs here in a way where you're like, well, you know, it is important for him to load it in this way because I like it that way. There's a difference between somebody doing something that we like and that we prefer versus like, this is really important, this could break, and you don't realize that this could break. So let's be clear there between a preference and something being really important. So if it is important, I would bring it to my king with that thought. Yeah, he is my king, and I need to tell him that this might break the dishwasher with respect and love and compassion. Not like, oh, this fool, let me tell him how he's about to break my dishwasher. No, we know how that would go. So I'm going to keep this short and sweet today. As I am wrapping this up, one thing that I want to say is that I believe that somewhere along the way, it has been lost on our society that as husband and wife, as partners, we are supposed to be one another's safe place. Okay, we are supposed to be the place where they know they feel loved, they aren't going to be critiqued, they aren't going to be put down. There is just enough of that out there in the world. So, all of us, every one of us, have a fool and a king or queen inside of us. Whoever is spoken to is the one who will emerge. So if I'm feeling like Anthony is a fool, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, and now I'm going and getting ready to speak to him while I'm thinking that he is a fool, I'm going to get the fool back. I'm going to call on the fool, and the fool's going to return my call. So what I've adopted from the Lord, I heard this from someone else, and, you know, as I was thinking about it, I'm like, this is how the Lord wants me to respond. What I'd like to do is pause in these moments where I'm noticing that I'm thinking about him as a fool, and I'm wanting to judge, and I'm wanting to criticize and offer my lovely suggestions on how to be better. And I take that moment and pause, and I make sure I do not address him. I do not communicate with him until I see him as the way God sees him, as God's perfect child, and as my king after God, of course, right? He is the person I am supposed to cherish and love and respect above even myself. And when I think of him that way, it doesn't mean that any of us are claiming to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't still have conversations about our development or our progress or ways that we want to be better. It just means that when we have those conversations, we know who we want to be talking to. We know who we want to be feeding. We know who we want to emerge. And we understand how that impacts the quality of that relationship and really the quality of, I should say how that impacts the quality of the conversation, and then in turn, long-term, how that impacts the quality of the relationship. As a Christian woman, I love this verse from Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 12, which says, "An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and no harm all of the days of her life." And I love this for multiple reasons, because it talks about how precious a woman is to her husband, and how she is just like this jewel, the most precious of all jewels. And she has to be that person that will do him no harm. She is that safe place, right? My husband trusts me and knows that I trust him. And I commit to doing nothing but good to him. I don't harm him with my words. I don't harm him with my actions. I'm a safe place for him. I am not his enemy. I am not his critic. But there are enough, like I said, of those out there in the world, and I don't want that to be me. So as I'm saying all of that, I will literally like lift my hand in the air right now as I'm recording this to say that I am in no way, shape, or form. Let me say that again. No way, shape, or form perfect at this. But what I do is try. And when I fail, which I do every single day, I ask God for forgiveness, and I ask for the strength and the patience and the grace and the ability and the love to do it better. And I try again, and I just keep trying. So that's what I have for you today, my friends. As you move through your life today, interacting with everyone you know, I want you to ask yourself, am I speaking to the fool, or am I speaking to the king? And notice how differently you think, you feel, and you speak when you're addressing one or the other. All right, that's where I'm going to leave this. I love you so much. Let's live a meaningful life, and we'll chat so soon. Hey, thanks so much for listening along with me today. I hope you found this episode helpful. And if you could do me a solid, drop me a 5-star rating below and please comment what you liked about this podcast and how it was helpful for you. And if it was, I would love for you to share this with a friend. That is one way that I can continue to grow this podcast, reach more people, and continue to spread the good word. Also, make sure you hit subscribe on your way out so that you never miss an episode with myself, the Mindset Maniac. I'll see you here next time.